Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to talk to you today, continuing a little bit about what we started on hope. And we know that we have a lot of things that distract us from the way that we need to go. And sometimes we get so saturated with the present, this present circumstance or the things that are going on. We get so inundated and so saturated with those things that it's hard for us to be able to see beyond it. And because we get so consumed with it, or sometimes so tempted to be consumed with it, that we lose the sight of a brand new day. How many of you know there's a new day? Amen. How many of you know that there's a new day coming in your life? Raise your hand. There's a new day coming in your life. You know, and that is true. And so we have to have the hope that Christ gives us, and the hope that he gives us is the assurance that God never lies. It's impossible for him to lie. So if whatever promise that he made, anybody want to take a guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. Whatever promise that he made, it's going to happen. It's going to take shape. It's going to take place. We're sometimes real impatient because we want it now. But I want it now. You know, sometimes God's doing some things in our lives to make us really appreciate when he does give it to us. When we do lay the hands on it. But see, but until we actually get to lay the hands on the promise that he said we had, hope is the sustainer of our progress in him. When you begin to lose hope, you begin to lose your way. You begin to lose your faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you stop having this hope inside you, that the day that you're looking for, you don't see it and you don't have hope for it, then your faith to be able to lay hands upon it is very minimal, very small, sometimes non-existent. And we have to make sure that we're not crippled by these things that the enemy would like for us to focus upon. We prayed for 42 people last Sunday about overcoming the fear of you sharing Christ, sharing your story with other people. Does any of you 42, did you experience sharing your faith with other people this week? How many? Raise your hand. Praise God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If I didn't count you, 7, 8. Any more? 9. All right. See, did you overcome the fear? Absolutely. Why is that? Because Christ is leading you by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to share the story. History is his story. So it's his story anyway, of how he's impacted you and how he has taken care of you in the most strangest of events, some of the most tragic events, and some of the most difficult events that goes on in our life. He is the answer to every one of them. Yes or no? Yes. Okay, so let's increase that number this week. Let's share his story. Let's share the gospel. Let's share just sharing who you are in him, what he's done for you, what he's done in you. It can be matter of fact, I would recommend you narrowing down to about 3 minutes of a person's time. Then if they follow you and say, hey, could you tell me a little bit more? Then you can share another 3 minutes. Right? You give the people hope. This world, this culture is growing more and more hopeless day by day. And it's because the enemy's plan is so spread and so huge in the talk of it that it's hard for us to see beyond it. Jesus faced a very difficult time when he began to think of the cross and think about what's going to have to be done and the price he's going to have to pay. that, you know, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He was able to have hope in the Father, knowing that God never lies, and knowing that whatever he has to go through is going to be God ordained for a much bigger purpose than what I'm going through. So the scripture said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, he was able to see beyond the beatings. He was able to see beyond the scourgings. He was able to see beyond the pulling of the beard, the pulling of the hair, the crown of thorns, the stripes. He was able to see beyond that. And he was able to see beyond that, listen, with joy. You know, we're called to be like him. We're called to be able to see the difficulties that we're going through, to be able to walk in them in such a way that we see the purpose that is way beyond our current situation, our current pain, our current difficulty, our trials of what we're going through today. Because as we face these difficulties, we should be able to see with hope. See, without hope, you can't see beyond this. Without hope, without the joyful expectation of something good is about to happen. That's what hope is. It's a joyous expectation of good. How many of you have a joyous expectation of something good is about to happen? Raise your hand, wave your hand. See, we should be some of the most joyful people on the face of this earth, knowing what we know. Enduring what we've endured. How many of you have ever hit bottom before? How many of you know what bottom looks like in life? Look, I want you to keep your hand up, and I want you to just scan the audience. You know, just scan the, you know, you're in good company. See, God presents a bottom that we bottom out with, and the next thing you know, we're headed where? Up. When you're on bottom, there's nowhere else to go. We have to have these moments of hope and these assurances that God is not just going to see us through, he's going to see us in it. He's not there just to meet us on the other side. He's going to go through with us. He's not one of those, he said, I want you to go do this and I'll see you a little bit later. No, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be right there with you. He's never left you. And we can't, so whatever it is, whatever it is we go through, let me ask you something. Does he lie? So if he said he's going to be with you through everything that you go through, he'll never leave you and never forsake you. What do you know? What is it that you know? He'll never leave you and never forsake you, right? And then you have the hope of saying what? He's with me. I'm going through, you know, he was said the other week, says, well, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. There's a hard situation that you're facing in, but all of a sudden you begin to have this hope that, wait a minute, God's with me. He said he'd never leave me. And you may say, well, I feel all alone. Well, you may be true in your feeling, but in the reality, you're never alone. So you've got to get your feelings caught up with what the truth is. You got to be able to get your emotions in line with what is the truth here. The truth is, he's with me. I met another pastor. He's in the community. I won't call his name. Dear friend of mine. I told him, I said, I ran into your angel the other day, brother. You did? I said, yeah. I said, where'd you run into him at? I said, at the drugstore. What was my angel doing at the drugstore? I said, well, he's looking for Valium. You're about to worry him to death. started laughing. He said, "You didn't run into my angel at no drugstore." And I said, "No, I really didn't. But, you know, are you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay." He said, "But I'm going to have to talk to the angel about it. Make sure he's okay." But he's never left us. And never going to.
That's right.
Outside these walls, God's going to put you in contact with people that have this feeling of hopelessness, that have this weight of heaviness. God loves you enough and confident in you enough to put you in that position. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if God used us in life? Well, he does. It's not a wish. He's encouraging all of us to take the stand that we're supposed to take. How many of you ever took a stand for righteousness' sake and it cost you? So you're still in good company. It cost you. Let me ask you this. Would you go back and change it?
No.
How many of you have ever suffered because of your own wrongdoing? Let me see how many honest people we have here today. Oh, your own wrongdoing, and you suffered for it, right? Yeah, okay. I'm raising my hand with that as well. No, I'm raising both of my hands. I've been there. I've done that. I understand what it means. And God, I thought you was in on this. And I'm with you. I'm walking with you, but I didn't tell you to do that. Y'all hear me? I didn't lead you that way. I'm here. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you no matter what. You ever done that, brother? You ever been there? Yeah. Has anybody in here ever argued with God? Now, we got that. Listen, that part was honest, and all of a sudden, y'all had a delay of memory. You might have not debated, but you just sort of, you know, well, God, how come you didn't? I was expecting it. How come you didn't? All of a sudden, we just have a little bit of a disagreement with God. Do you know that doesn't bother him? It bothers us to no end, you know, but it doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother him for you to have questions. Morgan, it doesn't bother him for you to have questions. It doesn't bother God at all. Really. What he wants us to understand, you can ask your questions. But after we get through asking the questions, we need to listen to his answer. Do you know that those two sisters that actually started blaming God for their brother's death? They actually blamed Jesus for their brother's death. If you had been here, we sent word to you 3 days ago.
Come on.
And you weren't here. If you had been here, what are they saying? It's your fault. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. The other sister came and said the same thing. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, he never rebuked him. He never scolded him. He just went right along and went to the tomb and wept. He didn't cry, he wept. Matter of fact, his weeping caused others to think, man, he must have really loved that man. Then he got to the place of saying to the sisters, there's some things very important that you need to look at. And those things of being important is when he's present, you focus on him. When he was present in the body there on earth. But see, here's the same thing. What should we look for always? What should we be sensitive to always? His presence. His presence. Being sensitive to his presence. But he looked at them and he said, I am the resurrection if you believe in him, if you believe in me and believe what I said, even though you die, you'll live. And then he asked this question, do you believe this? He made a statement. See, he didn't say there was a resurrection. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? I am the resurrection. I am the one who turns what looks like it's dead into life. I am the one that can reach deep into a situation that you see no hope, no life in. I am the one that reaches deep and pulls it out, and all of a sudden it's living. I'm the one that can turn your situation completely around. I can resurrect your dreams that you had, that you see is dead and gone. But I am the one who resurrects. I am. It's not there is a resurrection. I am the resurrection. And then he says, do you believe this? So that's the question. Do you believe this? Do you believe he is? It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. Everybody say hope. Outside these doors, there's people waiting on you and I for that hope to show up in their situation. Some of you here today needs hope. Need hope in a situation that you don't see beyond the current thing that you're going through. But see, when you have hope in the midst of what you're going through, there begins to be the glimmer of a brand new day that is just ahead. And it stirs the joy inside you because you know that he made you a promise. You know that he'll never leave you. You know that he'll always meet your need. You know that he'll always love you no matter what. He'll always be with you. He'll always take care of you. Listen, there's no one else that can care for you like Jesus, like the Holy Spirit cares for you. But our thoughts sometimes become a seedbed for the thoughts from the enemy. The enemy begins to sow seeds of doubt, insecurities, and the enemy wants you to be able to grab hold of a doubt and hang on to that doubt and call it your own. Y'all with me? But see, the Lord doesn't want you to do that. So the enemy wants to deceive you and I to think that this is the reality. Basically, the reality is beyond here. The reality is in the hope of his promise that he'll never break. So when you have that, you're able to go to people in the situation that they're in, and you can bring them to a place of having their situation to shift. And when it shifts for them, they begin to see beyond where they currently are and be able to have a hope that, wait a minute, this won't last forever. God really does love me. I am really taken care of by the Lord. And I want you to, have we read any scripture yet? Okay, all right. Y'all want to read some? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 35. We started talking about this a little bit the other week. A few things that we told you about is hope gives you courage when you're facing the giant. Hope gives you strength when you're having a tough time. Hope gives you peace when you're surrounded by storms. Hope gives you endurance when things look like it's taking so long. Wave your hand if you've been through that one. Okay, it's just taking so long. Hope gives you motivation to put your energy and strength into something. Hope gives you vision for the future, for the new day. Hope gives you meaning for your present life. Hope is a powerful force. We talked the other day about That's 35. Did I say 34? Okay, that's 35. Okay, 35. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. The desert. This is Israel coming home. So this is your coming home. This is when you come home. He begins to make the desert blossom. He said, it'll blossom like the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. In other words, you're going to hear creation singing. Very interesting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given it to it, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellence and Carmel and Sharon. That means beauty and fertility and fruitfulness. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God, of our God. In other words, the barren place, when it has the presence of God abiding in it, it begins to turn what looks like a disaster, turns to look like it's barren. He begins to turn it to be able to flourish in the midst of the worst situation you'd ever see. See, that's how God does in people's lives. That's what he's done in your life. That's what he's done in mine. And that's what he's waiting to do in a lot of other people's life. He looks for somebody that is a carrier of hope, a carrier of grace, a carrier of love. I had a man to come in my life, and he was like everything, almost not everything, but a lot of things that I would do, he would challenge it. Just challenge it. And I'm like, I went to God. And I said, God, explain to me why you have put this man in my life. He is like a burr under my saddle. He is like a grains of sand in my bed. I can't get comfortable. I said, why do you have him in my life? The answer came very strong. I brought him so I could teach you how to love. But God, I know how to love. You know how to love your way. But I'm going to teach you how to love my way. I'm going to bring you somebody that he's the one I'm bringing into your life to see if you'll still love him regardless of the irritations. What are you laughing at? I mean, I'm praying God sends you somebody to love. You're laughing with me, right? Don't point at Jim. He didn't give you Jim to do that. I'm messing with you. But see, this is life. This is the ways of God. Pray for patience. Every line you get in will cost you time. God, make me kind. He'll send some of the most unkind people to you. Lord, I really want to be kind. I really want to be compassionate on people. And he'll send some of them that, I mean, just hard to have compassion because they just do dumb stuff. You're with me? Yeah. How many of you have ever been one of those people in another person's life? How many of you have been one of those irritants in another person's life until you sort of grew up? Oh, I love the Lord and his ways, don't you? He knows how to build us up. He goes on, then he says, all right, this is what I've done for you. I've made the desert become in full bloom with roses and stuff. And matter of fact, they're so happy that they're singing. All of creation is singing because you're here. He said, now here's your job. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Go out and meet the needs of people. Go out and help people. I remember this man that was in my life. I remember he needed some money. He said, "Hey, can the church loan me some money?" And I said, "No, we're not a bank. We don't loan money. What do you need?" He said, I need $20 till I get paid. I said, "Okay, no problem." Well, I've learned from the Lord, when they ask for 20, just give them more than that. You know, so I gave him two 20s. We continued to talk a little bit, and then the conversation began to switch. And he said, "We're still standing out here." He says, "You know, I've been thinking about leaving this church." Really? I didn't know that. Why are you thinking about leaving this church? He said, "Well, there's just some things I don't like." And I said, "Brother, I'm the pastor. There's some things I don't like, but I ain't going to leave." He said, "No, I just think it's about time for me to leave." See, I'm back to this thing about they just do dumb stuff. I'm like, I asked him, I said, "When are you going to leave? God, I don't want you to leave without me knowing it. So when are you going to leave?" He said, "Well, I'm probably going to leave now." I mean, you know, there's just certain irritants. You're just like, man, Lord, just give me permission. Give me a pass. Just give me a pass on this one. Let me give him one nosebleed. I think one will do it. So he said, "I think I'll leave now. I think I'll just leave now." I said, "Well, I got one question to ask him." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Do you want to take the $40 with you, or you want to give it back before you go?" I said that. And more than likely, I was in the flesh. It's just like, you know. But I said, "Do you want to take, you know?" And he said, "Do I have to give it back?" And I said, "No. It was a gift. It's a gift." He said, "Okay." Well, I prayed for him, loved on him, and he left. And the very next Sunday, he's sitting right here. I went up to him and I said, "Brother, I thought you were leaving." He said, "Change my mind." I said, "Well, I changed mine too. I think I'll stay too." It's just the irritant. It's just one of those things. It was just, "God, are you going to love him?" "Yeah, I'm going to love him. I may need to put medicine on him after I get through with him, but I'm going to love him." Now, I know some of you said, "Oh, Pastor, your pastor's got a flesh just like you got one." I try my best not to follow it. But when I do, it's usually a doozy. Oh my goodness. Oh. Somebody asked me one time, said, I was in a pastor's group, and y'all don't want to hear that. He goes ahead and said, they said, "Well, I may sin," is what he said. He said, "I may sin, but it's by accident." Well, I said, "Well, that's totally unlike me. Every sin I do on purpose." If I'm about to lie, I know I'm about to lie, and I lie anyway. Y'all with me? If I lie. I try not to lie. I really don't. But see, the whole thing is about the honesty of God, the honesty of our life. He wants us to be open. He wants us to be open to the place that we can actually go and help others. You can't take anything fake in Christianity and help anybody. You can't take religious anything with anybody and make anybody a follower of Christ. You can make them a person of religion, but you won't make them a follower of Christ. Goes on and says, say to those that are fearful hearted, be strong, do not be afraid. See, there's people out there that needs to hear, be strong, don't be afraid. God's got this. God's paid everything he needed to pay for you. God's got a future for you. It's wide open. It's full of purpose. And then he goes on and says, he said, behold, your God will come with vengeance and recompense of God. And he will come and save you. They're ready to hear that. Then he goes on and says, then. Everybody say the word then. Which means something happened for the then to come. Something then. So you have to take this beautiful life that you have, that you've been given, and you have to take it to others and be able to begin to broadcast it to people that are in very much need of your hope and the representation that you bring of Christ. Then he says, then. But first you got to be able to speak. You got to be able to meet needs, and then you got to be able to speak to them. You got to be able to see. You can't just walk through the malls and walk through the stores and walk, blind to the thing. And that's what the enemy, he wants you to be blinded in your sensitivity to other people. Well, see, the Lord wants you to be sensitive to the surroundings, sensitive to the Holy Spirit in such a way that he's speaking to you and you can respond at that very moment. See, anytime you go somewhere like that and all of a sudden you begin sharing Christ, that's not a detour. That's the reason you went to the store. That's the bigger purpose. That's the larger picture that we get to see. I thought I was going for a loaf of bread and milk because they announced snow in the South. No, it wasn't. There was this person over here that looked lonely, looked distressed. And the reason you see it is because he wanted you to see it. Because he sent you to say just a few words. Not to preach to him, just to say a few words. He said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. You want to see miracles? Do the first part of this chapter. Do the first four verses. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb will sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness. Whose wilderness? Theirs. You're to have your singing over here. Their wilderness will burst forth with waters and streams in the desert. The parched land shall become a pool. All of a sudden, the things change for them because hope has arrived to their life. Hope is staring them right in the middle of their face. Hope and assurance that Christ, that God loves them. Christ died for them. And no matter what they're going through, there's an answer that is way beyond where they currently are. He said, there's a parched land and now there's a pool. Thirsty land, springs of water, the habitation of jackals. In other words, the scavengers are there, but yet there's going to be plenty of grass and reeds and rushes. Then he doesn't stop there. He said, what you do in this process of sharing hope with other people, you create a highway for their life. He says, a highway shall be there and a road. And he goes on and says, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. All of a sudden, a highway is built, a highway of holiness is built right for them to walk in. And the interesting thing here, it said, the unclean will not be able to pass over it. In other words, those that just reject what you're saying, they won't be able to walk in it. Amen. But it shall be for others. What others? the others that hear what you have to say and listen, and all of a sudden hope comes in. I love this verse. Listen to this one. Whoever walks the road, although a fool. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. How many of you have ever been foolish in your walk? This verse is for you and me. Even though we were foolish in a decision or a foolish in something that we did, and we really wasn't following what the Lord wanted, but then we just got a little foolish. He said, you will not, even though you begin to be a little bit foolish on this highway, you will not go astray. Why is that? Because the hope resides in the highway of holiness. So you're creating broad highways, not a broad way, but a broad highway for them to be able to step into and say, wait a minute, I don't have to live this way. I don't have to remain this way. I don't have to stay this way. Why? Because they heard truth. They heard somebody that loved them enough to give them hope, loved them enough to be a vessel of grace. Grace being the favor of God that you didn't earn, but it's also an empowerment from God to be able to do what you can't do. That's just beautiful to me. Amen. Amen. Can we get to, there's more. Everybody say, there's more. There's more. Sir, can you go to Romans 5 for me? Romans 5 in the Passion. I want you to look at this passage and we'll wind up. Romans 5:1 says, listen to this. You ready? Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Whew. This means you can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into the marvelous kindness and has given us a perfect relationship with God, all because of what he's done. It's not our job to attain it. We've already attained it through him. It's our job to live out what he's given. Amen, Pastor. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope in experiencing God's glory. Celebrating our hope in experiencing God's glory. Say to your neighbor, he's not finished. I am going to read this one. I'm going to read this one out of the Message. This is Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 20. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it up to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. And God said, I promise that I'll bless you, Morgan. I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and gave and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by an appeal to some authority that is above them, so that if there are any questions, that they'll make it good on the promise. They won't make good on the promise, that the authority will make good on it. Verse 17, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, there wasn't anybody else higher than him. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Who, listen to this, we who have run for our very lives to God, have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let it go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Listen to this part. Reaching past all appearances, right into the very presence of God. Holding on to the hope that he made a promise and he's going to keep it. And you can grab hold of that promise and hang on to it and never let go. That's your hope that he's going to come through. And he said, and this passage says, and what you do when you reach for that promise in your hope, you reach past all appearances. It may appear bad. It may appear bleak. It may appear like very troubled. Reaching through all appearances right into the presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? All right. Do you have hope that I'll finish? Stand to your feet, please. Oh, it's like this. Oh, I'm not finished. I've just got started. But God is finished. Listen to this. Is Pastor Charlie, is he here? He's down there. Okay. I need a piano player. Do you know O Holy Night? Or do you know the key O Holy Night then? You don't? Does anybody have any keys with them? I would ask William, but oh, okay. I just need the key here. But you can. No. Listen, wave your hand at us, William. I would ask William, and he carries keys, but all his is off. He's one of our elders. Now he's a leader in the house. You know, he had surgery on his neck, and he said, "Doc, after this surgery, will I be able to sing?" He said, "Can you sing now?" He said, "No." He said, "Nope. You won't be able to sing after I'm through either." I love him, I really do. Listen to the words before we sing it. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining, longing, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder, you see it? For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. That song says all about hope, seeing beyond where you currently are. And there's a thrill of hope that comes. Okay, let's sing this verse and that'll be our dismissal. I love you guys. I thank you for your patience, your attentive ear. You're beautiful people. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Thank you. Lord's blessings be upon you as you leave today. And may you carry his presence into every situation, that when people look at you, they'll know there's something different about you, and they will ask you questions about why you are so joyful. And may you answer them with the purpose of God in your mouth, on your lips, coming from your heart, full of love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.